The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
You should have been pulled in the front room. They have faith in you. You should have been pulled in the fifth, but they had faith in you. And you.
You are now locked into the latest episode of the Hey! It's Enrico Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast, part of the Roto Fanatic Podcast Network. Go to rotofanatic.com at your pleasure. And read the latest GPS report. Every Thursday, Paul Mamino comes out with a brand new GPS report focusing on pitch location, wOBA, and one pitcher to rule them all. This week's pitcher is Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs. Is it going to be a rocky road all season long? Or is it smooth sailing from here on out? Read Paul Mamino's GPS report at rotofanatic.com today. It's episode 96, the Tommy Hunter edition. We're going international for today's show, yet we're staying within the Roto Fanatic family. Please welcome a very special guest all the way from Ireland, but originally from Michigan. The one and only Phil Goyette is going to talk prospects today on the Palazzo Podcast. You can stay up to date on prospects anytime you want with Phil Goyette's Climbing the Rookie Ladder, which is on rotofanatic.com. Both pitchers and hitters are broken down and organized into a list so you can know what to expect from the future kings of this game we call baseball. So join Phil and your host, Michael Govier, as they talk about better-made potato chips, Faygo Pop, and the ruins of the Rust Belt that litter our great country. It's going to be a newsy of an episode, and you know that when shit hits the fan, the Palazzo Podcast grabs a mop. Take it away, boys!
All right, we are live. It is 6:07 Eastern Time on the Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast, also known as the Palazzo Pod. I am Michael Govier at MJ Govier, G-O-B is in Victor, I-E-R, on Twitter. And Chris Deary's off tonight. We had to record a little bit earlier for our very special guest tonight. So Deary was still working, and it's just going to be me and this guy. He is a genius of prospects. He's the latest in a long line of prospect gurus. He works with us at rotofanatic.com. He's got his own stuff on rotofanatic.com, which you can read and check out, called Climbing the Rookie Ladder, pitchers and hitters. It's really great stuff. And Phil Goyette is live from Ireland. Phil, welcome to the show, man. Good to have you.
Thanks, man. What's up, Michael? How you doing? It's Phil Goyette, not Goyer, and Michael Govier, not Govier, right?
That is right. That is absolutely correct. We were just reminiscing, actually. It turns out that me and Phil grew up in the same area, Michigan, going to high school and all that. So we were talking about Flint and old shows and going down to Detroit and Pontiac and seeing concerts. And that was great stuff. That's really cool, man. Because
you allude to a Prius. You knew the legit anecdote about the original Flint local and the floor collapsing.
I did. Yes, I absolutely did, man. I can still see The band that we saw the most of there, Square One. The Square One shirts were yellow, and everybody had those. I could see it right now, clear as day. A bunch of my friends bought those, and they ended up playing shows there. It was a great time, man. We had some great memories of Flint, and we were just young bozo teenagers. So even if there was like a risk of going down there, I didn't really think about it like that back then. So, but it probably is safer in downtown Flint now, like you were saying, than it was 20 plus years ago.
I would say so.
Oh, we got another fellow Michigander, Jasper. Jasper just saw it following the show. Jasper Springer. Hello. Good to see you, buddy. Welcome back. It's great to have you here. I think,
What's up, Jasper?
Where the hell are you? You're in something starts with a G. Gonesh? I didn't even know where that was, Jasper. Let us know. It's great to have all these Michiganders coming about. I met another guy from Detroit a couple weeks ago in the biz. So you just never know. There's a lot of great Michiganders doing good work. And I think that's cool because, you know, Phil, you're in Ireland now and you've been there for a few years. Do you ever want to come back to Michigan and live here, or did you feel like good riddance?
I was kind of done when I moved out, I think. A lot of my family has moved away too. So it was just kind of wasn't a lot in Flint to keep you sticking around for the most part. So not anything I ever think about doing. It's beautiful. My wife's from Petoskey.
Ah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's northern Michigan, obviously, great place
northern to vacation. Northern Lower Peninsula.
Yeah, northern lower. the map behind me, if you can see, I'm pointing the wrong way. That's Lake Superior behind me. That's where my grandpa was from, Batchewana Bay. So that's northern. That's where we used to vacation in Canada. So lots of just beautiful parts of Michigan. Grand Rapids is awesome now too, right?
Oh, well, it's completely been reformed. You know, the DeVosses have made it into a spectacular place to live now. So, but, you know, Grand Rapids has some cool spots, cool art communities mixed in. So, yes, it's one of the faster growing, like, mid-level cities in the country. I do believe that to be accurate. And Jasper says he's from Goshen, Indiana. So he's really close to Michigan. That's technically Indiana. But he's a Midwestern nonetheless. So Jasper, good to see you. Welcome to the show. We got Phil with us. We're going to talk prospects because that's what you do. You guys can't get enough prospect talk. Anyways, you're obsessed with it. It'll never not be interesting. You put prospects out there, Phil, and people just go apeshit. They just love it. They can't help themselves.
Yeah, and God makes new ones every year, which is
right.
Great.
It's an eternal supply of endless prospects, which is a lot of fun. But here we go. I got something for you. This will take you back. How about this one? Right here. This is a classic.
And he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out.
A little bit of Ernie for you.
Yeah, Mr. Harwell.
He really was great, Lemon.
Right?
Yeah, I went to the last game at Tiger Stadium in 99. That was really awesome. That was a highlight for me.
What an incredible, like, obviously Comerica is great, but the old Tiger Stadium was just weird angles. And, you know, you're parking in some crazy ass parking lot. You know what I mean? It was just like, what an experience. Your dad taking you down there when you were a kid.
It was. And I know people would bitch about sight lines. Oh, this is dated and all that. But certainly had a hell of a lot of character, and I find that to be interesting. I like historical. It connects me to the old ways of baseball. Not all the old ways of baseball were done right. You know, plenty of racism in baseball's past, unfortunately. But some of the game itself being played, pitcher, hitter, home runs, walks, strikeouts, all that stuff, it's gone on for 100 years or so, and Detroit State, you know, Tiger Stadium did that quite well. Comerica's cool, but it doesn't have that same panache. It never will.
Right, yeah. Waiting for Cecil Fielder to hit one on the roof. That was like the highlight.
Yeah, I went and saw him on my 10th birthday, 1990, the year he hit 51. That was a great. He hit a home run that day. It was a great day. August 22nd, 1990. I bet if I baseball reference it, I could find out if that's true or else I'm making it up. Anybody else, feel free to call me out on my bullshit if that's not true. But we are live here. We're talking with Phil today. We're going to talk about prospects. We also are going to talk about what you get. 3-year growth, 6-year growth. Phil's done some interesting work about the return on investment at a certain point in a player's career. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm very interested in that. I think that's very cool. And we'll give you guys some players that could be impact players still this year, prospect-wise, in a redraft league. And dynasty prospects beyond the top 100. I know somebody mentioned in our YouTube comments the other day, they wanted to know, hey, who are some prospects beyond like the top 100 guys that actually could be useful somewhat sooner than later. You know, it's not like we're locking it down. But there are so many prospects. I mean, was Reese? Remember Reese Hoskins? I don't think he was a top 100 until he got maybe to that certain point where he crept into the top 100. But he certainly didn't have the pedigree of an elite prospect.
Yeah, I've got, if I can pull it up, I've got all the signing bonus info, which is part of what I looked at when I was doing the historical stuff. And you'd be just amazed how many of these guys were signed for just nothing. $10,000 international signing. And they're just great fantasy players 10 years later. It's wild.
Wow, that is interesting. Oh, okay, we're going to dive more into that shortly for sure. We want to say thank you to everybody who's been participating with the show. We always bring out the Belvedere music for the housekeeping. Do you know Mr. Belvedere?
Sure, yeah. Or some like to call him Brock Toon.
I haven't heard of that in a while. Streets on the China never mattered. That was, what the hell did that mean?
This is an old SNL sketch. The Mr. Belvedere fan club.
Oh, and they have
shit. To use a code, they have to use a code word and call him Brock Toon.
Wow. Holy cow. That is a deep cut. Yeah. Well done, Phil. That's fantastic.
That's a great sketch, man.
Oh, Jasper says that'd be me. Jasper's the one who asked for the prospects outside top 100. Well, great. Well, Jasper, you're here, and we give you what you want.
He's not Brock Toon.
No, he is not Brock Toon, as far as we know. But if he gives us the magic word, we'll give you whatever you desire. Fleur-de-lis style. So this is part of the Roto Fanatic Podcast Network. Phil works at Roto Fanatic with us, and I do a podcast, which is part of the network, and he writes the articles, which I mentioned already, the Climbing the Rookie Ladders. And we want to thank everybody who's been checking out our stuff on rotofanatic.com. Every weekend, we got closing remarks from Mike Carter. Fantastic stuff. Bullpens covered from A to Z across all 30 teams. And then we got Dave Funnel's infirmary report. And with all the injuries going on, it's a great piece to give you insight on who's coming back soon, who's not, who's just going on the IL. It's a constant, constant revolving door. So make sure you read that stuff. And, of course, Schedule Factors from Crosby Spencer. Really good stuff to help you for the coming week. And I want to say thank you to Sam Hanley. New followers, Patrick Robinson, WC and me. I don't even know what the hell that is. I tried to look into it. It looks like it's a store or some type of clothing front. But either way, welcome. Glad to have you as a new Twitter follower. And Jeff at SoCal Hardball. Welcome, Jeff. Scott Bogman, I was on the In This League podcast this week. Please check that episode out with Bogman and Is It the Welsh. You ever listen to the In This League show?
Man, I think I have at some point. I'm a little behind on my podcast, not going to lie. I wasn't having the school run, so I didn't have the time in the car to put the podcast on like I used to have last year.
That car time, it's really important listening time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's me time, really.
Well, good. I want you to have quality time, Phil. I really do. It means a lot to me. And I'm serious when I say that. I will tell you this, though. Bogman and the Welsh, if you've never listened to In This League, please start listening to them. They do such a great job. They're an independent podcast, and they make everything happen on their own. It's funny. It's interesting. And there's really nothing they don't do. So I really want to recommend that. We had a great time talking about Scott. John Means, the day he threw the no-hitter. We did some comparisons about John Means, and we talked Kyle Tucker, Trent Grisham. We talked all kinds of stuff. So please go check out that show. That was like a big moment for me. I was really grateful for the opportunity. So thank you, guys. And thank you to our new YouTube subs, Sam Hanley, Jasper Springer, of course, and Travis Salvo. The YouTube channel is slowly growing. Don't forget, it's Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
Utah, give me two.
On Twitter. And Facebook and YouTube, anywhere. We're just Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs, 24/7. Phil, tell us one thing about you that has nothing to do with baseball.
I'm a big fan of playing historical war board games.
Oh, like Axis and Allies?
Yeah, but like on crack, essentially.
Ooh. Okay, so give me an example.
There is so many to select from. We played with a group here in Dublin a couple years back, one called Here I Stand, which is about the Wars of the Reformation, a card-driven game, and we played all day like a 10-hour game fest, and I had just a gigantic migraine by the time I went home.
Well, I've never heard of that at all.
Yeah,
I was a big Axis and Allies guy. You were the Lutherans. I have never played that game. I used to play Axis and Allies like crazy when I was, even in my 20s. Hell, we even played a couple times in my 30s. I won't deny that.
That's a great one. They've taken it, basically, they've taken Axis and Allies and taken it all up a notch.
Yeah, I figured they have. I'm kind of outdated on like strategy. You know, I love RPGs or like real-time simulation strategy games. Those are always fun.
Oh, so TT. Do you play Out of the
Park?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
You can just get lost.
Actually, the first time I played was last year. I had never played it before.
I like those. I like the old, like, Stratomatic, like, where you actually roll the dice on the table, too.
People are still doing that. I saw, I think it was Jeff Erickson from RotoWire posted the other day talking about all the fantasy teams he had when I posted that thread about daily leagues versus weekly leagues. And he mentioned Stratomatic was one of his teams that takes up all of his time. And that guy's like busy as hell. He's like a big time legitimate fantasy analyst. He's on the radio. He's on RotoWire. He's still playing Stratomatic. So.
You're busy as hell. What you doing rolling dice, Jeff?
It's amazing. Good for him, though. I respect the grind. I do. We all respect the grind. And Phil works as hard as anybody. Phil, what can people expect from your pieces on Road to Fanatic?
Each week I update the ladder. So one week it'll be pitchers. One week it'll be hitters. I try to give a news update on every rookie that's on the ladder to begin with, and then also do a breakdown of any guys that have been recently called up to give sort of an outlook of what to expect for them for the rest of the season. My goal with the ladder is try to get it to a point where I'm accurately projecting which rookies are going to be relevant for fantasy, for redraft leagues. Not there yet. Oh. Work in progress.
How does one accomplish that? Is it a secret? Is it like your recipe?
I just think you keep working at it, honestly. Look at stuff every week and try and improve.
For those of you watching the live stream, here it is. This is rotofanatic.com and his rookie ladder. So you just...
Great. Just awesome graphic, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. You got Will. Shout out to our guy, Will. I love Will. Will has worked for us for well over a year now. And Will Mims does top-notch work. If you need graphic design work, it speaks for itself, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Absolutely.
But yeah, so here it is. It's all organized and you can click by team, by position, and you can show as many entries as you want, 100 entries to 10. And you also have, like you said, all this information, news and notes. Randy Rosarina, for example, is right here. Brian Hayes, Dylan Carlson, Nick Madrigal. We even got GIFs. We got video. See, look at that. Pretty cool.
Yep. Just a little poke from Madrigal there. Look at how shallow the outfield was playing him on that. Did you see that? That whole series they played him so shallow.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. Yeah. Left fielder was like middle in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there it is. So if you want to check it out, please check out Phil's work. He puts in the time and effort. And I think it's been a positive for rotofanatic.com. I'm very excited about it. Nick Madrigal, I was kind of hyped on him last year, but I kind of got off of him by the end of the season after he got hurt in Milwaukee when he was sliding into third.
Stupidly injured himself. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And then I thought, what is the real value here? This guy's got no power. I know he could steal bags and he could hit for average. So 3 out of 5, A Ben, give you runs, average, steals. That's not terrible, but.
It gives you a lot. I did a relatively in-depth piece on him a couple years back. He gives you the average, especially now, you know, if the league average is 232 or whatever it is, and he's almost a lock to hit whatever his BABIP is going to be, essentially, because he puts everything in play. So, and you would expect BABIP to be around 300 because that's ordinarily where it's at. So his most likely outcome is he's going to hit around 300. So a 300 hitter when batting average is league-wide 232 is more valuable than a 300 hitter when the average is 260 or something. So you got to look at how many hits is going to give you over an average player. Put that into the value calculator. I think I did hitters this week, but runs and RBIs, he's actually not bad relative to the other rookies. I think he was at 28 or 29, something like that. He should be stealing bags, but he hasn't. I think that's been for fantasy, at least, the big disappointment is I think he's only stolen one base this year. He's 1 for 2, I think.
He's not alone. Francisco Lindor has still not stolen a base this year. That's crazy to me.
Lindor's been just tough in general.
Yeah, well, he has. There's still guys. His teammate, Madrigal's teammate, Andrew Vaughn, as of yesterday, he still hadn't hit a home run yet. Still, so it's a weird season going on here in some respects, is it not?
Yeah, I think one thing with Vaughn is that they're not giving him the playing time. He's not playing every day, so he can't find his feet.
Yeah, well, you're right. The first month here, he was being treated poorly, absolutely yanked in and out, in and out. But now with all the injuries, he should be playing every day. And if he's not, then there's just no excuses left for La Russa.
Or is it going to be Billy Hamilton and Jake Lamb?
Oh, God.
Somebody said on Twitter, I can't take credit for this. I wish I could. Giving Tony La Russa Billy Hamilton is like giving a six-year-old an air horn. He can't help but play with it.
Yeah, I'm into that. I can. He's a... Whatever. Yeah, the Russa is an old bit. I mean, everyone knows the story there. There's a lot of confusion and frustration there. But either way, check out Phil's stuff at rotofanatic.com. That's what you should be doing. Check out Phil's work. Don't miss out on the opportunity. And maybe next time, in a week, Madrigal will have three steals. Maybe they'll open up the offense in Chicago. But who's to say? All I know is we're going to talk more about prospects. But we've got to get into our segment, which we like to call Leading Off. Alrighty, in leading off here, live with Phil Goyette. Please follow Phil on Twitter. That's Phil of Sports. Phil of Sports. P-H-I-L of Sports, right?
That's me.
I didn't blow it. Woohoo! I knew it. Well done. I make mistakes every day, but I try to do my best and do my homework, and we're here talking baseball. And as always, in leading off, we do our catch of the day, and here it is.
Good. Our first catch of the day.
Today, oh, geez. Whoa! I've been doing too many podcasts. That's what that is. Good Lord. Sorry about that. Our first catch of the day today. Phil, I'm going to give you the first word on this. Is there a player over the last 3 days that really impressed you? It could be anywhere. It could be minor league. The minor leagues are underway, too, so it's great to see minor league baseball back. It could be minors or majors. I don't even care. Any player.
I've got my Giants cap on. And Helio Ramos for the Giants has been tearing it up to start the season. They started him at Double A. He's still relatively young. I think he's 21 still. I think he hit two home runs the first day, and he's hit another one since. So, and he's just pounding the baseball. So Helio,
that's fantastic. That's a great catch right there. I think the Giants might be the most annoying team in baseball. No offense to you, Phil. I mean, I like you. But
I'm a White Sox fan. I just like the hat, personally.
I think they do more with less now. They're starting to get a reputation like some of the other teams, like the Rays and these other teams. They don't spend a ton. I mean, they spend a little bit. They do sign Gausman and Wood, but they're not like outrageously expensive deals. And they seem to get the most out of everybody. And if somebody doesn't work, then they move on to the next guy.
Yep.
They give them full credit there.
Their thing last decade was they always had a pile of bats that could make contact, a bunch of gloves that could play defense. They always had good guys in the bullpen, and they always had about five starting pitchers. So,
Jasper here says he's picking up Andrew Vaughn Monday morning in a Yahoo 12-teamer. Do you think Vaughn is 12-team viable right now?
Yeah, I would let it rip. I mean, especially if it's the back end of your bench or something, it's a kind of an upside move to go for. So, yeah, go for it. Somebody else we're going to talk about. Trevor Larnach got called up too. That's another idea, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. My catch of the day, I got to give it to him, and I've ripped on him a lot the last couple of years. But Zach Wheeler looks incredible. He's having a great year so far. He went 9 innings all the way against the Brewers in a great pitcher's duel with Brandon Woodruff yesterday. 9 innings, 3 hits, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts. It speaks for itself, and I just didn't think he could be consistent. But right now he's being the one thing I haven't seen. Despite his last start before that, he gave up 4 runs in the first inning against the Mets, but he didn't give up any more runs and he went 7 innings. That's what you want from a guy who's supposed to be your leader and your horse. If he makes mistakes, that he can bounce back and still go 7. So I'm really starting to change my tune on Zach Wheeler. He's throwing the slider more too. His slider usage is up if you start looking at the peripherals, and it seems to be paying off.
Z Wheelie.
Actually, yeah. Well, he does have a Giants connection. Z Wheelie's got a connection to the Giants. He traded him to the Mets in that deal for somebody. I can't remember who it was, but it was a huge deal. I can't remember. Anyways.
Yeah, Wheeler's been really, great. I agree.
He didn't really pan out as well for the Mets, but now the Mets face him. That's great. He gets to be in their own division for the next couple of years since the Phillies signed him in-house. So kudos to Wheeler and kudos to Helio Ramos. I love Ramos. I'd love to get him on my fantasy slash dynasty team if I could, but I'm not in the position to buy youth. I'm trying to win right now. So I don't know. Ramos not going to help you this year, right? But he's going to help you in years to come.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, now, if you're listening to the podcast version, Return of the Mac, Return of the Mac, by Mark Morrison. Dearie, tribute to you. I got it right this time. It's not Mark Harrison. Mark Morrison, R&B special tonight. So, Return of the Mac means who's back? Who's coming to help out? We got reinforcements with all these damn injuries. Trevor Larnach, you just mentioned his name, Phil. Trevor Larnach is back. What can we expect from this guy? Will it be temporary? Or could he play his way into regular time here?
Probably temporary. But we'll see. I mean, if the bat's hot, he hit an absolute tank in AAA the other day. I don't know if you saw the video of it. He just annihilated a baseball. So he already hit a home run this season. He's like a lot like Kirilloff in a way, where hit tool plus power. So he could hit for a good average, get on base. He should get on base, and he could be, 20 home runs this season, honestly. But it's when Buxton comes back, if Buxton comes back, he's back in the lineup. Kirilloff, I would think the same, but I actually haven't got the latest word on Kirilloff, so I don't know what's going on with his injury.
He's officially on the IL, and I didn't hear the update on the wrist, but he was traveling to that doctor on the road trip and still joining the team, so maybe they were hopeful it wasn't that serious, but let's keep our eyes peeled on any information that can help us, because if you're not staying vigilant on constant transactional updates every day here, you're probably going to miss something. You got to be really... I know you don't want to spend that much time on something, but if you're putting money into leagues and you want to win, you got to stay up to date on this stuff all day long.
Got to catch that Roto Fanatic injury report every weekend.
Dave Funnels Infirmary Report.
Yeah.
He's Canadian too. I love Davey Lou because he's Canadian and because he does a good job.
Who doesn't love Canadians?
My girlfriend's Canadian. I love Canadians. Good. I'm very passionate about the Canadians. Even though I haven't seen her in 14 months, I'm still missing out there. I love you, Leanne. Hope you're doing well. But you reminded me, because you said Byron Buxton, so I'm adding this to the show, which is a kind of a classic. It's a sad injury music here from my childhood.
Techno,
you know
Super
what
Bowl.
This is? Oh,
Techno,
yeah, you got it.
Come on.
Yeah, you got it.
Do I know what this is?
I don't know. I don't know you that well. I think it's a fair question. But yeah, you nailed it. So total respect to you, Phil. Well done, my friend.
Injury to Otis Anderson.
Yeah, he's being carried off by the other guys.
Get Rodney Hampton in.
Oh, Merrill Hodge, another concussion. Devastating.
You got to put him in to return the kicks, Merrill Hodge.
Yeah, oh, interesting. Yeah, those Pittsburgh uniforms look so weird in that 8-bit graphic. They're like yellow, but they're like, they always look the oddest ones of all the ones on that game. Anyways, point being is that this music means injuries. And he just said, Phil described Buxton as bye-bye. So long, Mr. Buxton. We're going to miss you. Keep your eyes on Kirilloff. The injuries just continue to pile up, blah, blah, blah. So just be forewarned. Injuries are happening 24/7 all the time. But we're here to give you guys reinforcements. So Larnach's coming back. Miguel Andujar called back up by the Yankees. And he's in the lineup tonight. He's playing first base for the New York Yankees. With Luke Voit knocking on the door, he'll be back any day now. I assume this is like a weekend tryout for Andujar.
Yeah, I think you're right. The short-term thing. He's struggled so much the last couple of years, too, unfortunately.
So where do we see him now? I mean, in his career. Is this somebody that you would try to pick up for cheap in a dynasty league, or is he just a lost cause right now?
He's the kind of guy you're waiting to get traded to another club, I think.
Like Mike Tauchman,
I'm actually I'm actually kind of surprised that the Yankees haven't traded him yet. So I don't think you need to own him in Dynasty. I guess if you're in a very deep league and you want to use that minor spot creatively. You could do worse than having somebody who's going to get a shot at MLB at bat. So that is actually a good idea.
Well, just remember, man, every day people get hurt and it will happen every day. And someone's bound to get hurt tonight. I bet someone gets hurt and goes on the aisle by tomorrow. But they re-sign Brett Gardner every year. How many years can the Yankees continue to re-sign Brett Gardner? I thought Clint Frazier would be traded. That's why I thought somebody had to go here. But the Yankees, they're slow playing this like a son of a bitch. So we'll see how it goes there. Shogo Akiyama is back for the Cincinnati Reds. He's been on the shelf with the hamstring issue, but he's in the lineup tonight. I was actually excited. I had an idea. I thought that Tyler Stevenson, the Reds catcher, who I love. I love Tyler Stevens. I love that bat. I thought they would put him at first with Joey Votto going on the IL with the thumb issue. But Shogo's back, and now he's in the game, and Tyler Stevenson's still on the bench. And they have a DH because they're playing at Cleveland. So I lost out. I thought I could play Tyler Stevenson this weekend and get some good stats at catcher, but that did not work out. So
good thought. Stevenson's been good this year, too.
Every time he plays, yeah. It seems like he does something when they get even. And he does. That's even more impressive to me because he doesn't play regularly.
Right. Can't trust catchers, man.
Yeah, well, that's very obvious. Yes, that is very obvious, Phil. Thank you very much. But you are right, Phil. Can't trust catchers. But Shogo Akiyama, did you have any interest when he first signed with the Reds last year? And if so, I'm assuming that changed.
He was a guy I was picking up in like first-year player drafts or supplemental drafts because it's nice to get the international free agents that come in that are older like that because they have a chance at contributing right away. And I actually thought he was going to, but he just did not acclimate to the MLB like we'd hoped, or even the projection. I think there were some projections out there that were pretty nice for what he could accomplish, but that didn't come to fruition, unfortunately. He was supposed to run more, I think, than he did.
That was one of part of the deal, too. I was expecting like 10 steals at least from him, and that didn't happen. But it was also the Bozo season of 2020, so you can't really, you know. I was willing to toss it up as a lost season, but he comes out the gate and he has personal issues in spring training, and then he's hurt, and it's just the wrong start for him. But that doesn't mean there's still not opportunity here. But with the rise of Tyler Naquin, it just makes his job and his opportunity even more difficult.
The Reds always have outfielders like tripping over each other, so it's a, you know, it's not a great playing time situation ordinarily.
True that.
You got the rise of Jesse Winker now too, so they've got to fit him in.
Yeah, Castellanos, Winker, Naquin, Akiyama. It's a mess, but it's a good mess to have if you're a manager. Nick Senzel is starting at second base tonight, which is great news. And after tonight, he will have second base eligibility in Yahoo League. So that's good news for anybody in Yahoo, as Senzel getting that second base eligibility will only increase his value. All right. Real quickly, Gene Segura should be back this weekend. Framber Valdez threw a side session, and they said he felt pretty good. And I think we should start targeting Framber now. If you can, put fab bids on him this weekend, Sunday night. Don't forget, we have the Sunday Night Fab Show. We do it every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Here to help you. And we'll talk about Framber some more that night, too. But Framber Valdez, do you think you can expect him to pitch by the end of this month or at the very beginning of June? And if so, would it be worth it to pick him up now?
So you're saying put out a Framber alert. It might be a good idea. I'm sorry, I've been sitting on that one for a minute.
That's fantastic.
I actually don't know. Don't know if he's going to be within the month or not. I think your idea, though, to maybe fab him now from somebody who dropped him, especially if you could get him to an IL spot or something that you have open on your roster, is a great idea because it does sound like he's, if he doesn't come back within the month, he should be back, I don't know, mid-June, July 1st, something like that. Sounds like the finger injury went way better than what they initially thought, which is great.
Yes. I remember preseason. This is another lesson. Write this stuff down, folks. Everybody panicked when he got injured in spring training. And season's over. He's out for the year.
His finger's falling off. They're going to have to put a rod in the finger. You know.
Yeah, it didn't happen. You're right. He threw 20 pitches today in live BP, and he faced hitters, and he showed good command, according to Dusty Baker. So take that for what it is. There is video of him doing it as well. So it is real. It's not just a rumor.
There's video of him doing it. That's a fun rotation. I would love to see Framber jump in with Luis Garcia as my dude, and he's been good.
I picked him up in a couple leagues.
He's built like a fire hydrant is what I always say. He's just a tank.
Luis Garcia?
Yeah. He's an absolute tank.
He had a nice outing. I thought it was still a pretty solid outing against the Yankees, even though he only went 4 2/3. He struck out 8, and I picked him up in 2 leagues this past weekend as a streamer, and I'll take the 8 Ks. He gave up a couple runs, but he didn't get shelled. So I like guys like that, the ones people are not targeting, like, the other streamers at the top of the list where people pay big money for them every week. There's always somebody who would probably give you comparable value that is always cheaper, and that's a good example of it right there. And then lastly, Chris Paddock is supposed to come off the IL and pitch Sunday? At least he's supposed to come off the IL on Sunday. I don't know if he's going to pitch or not. I'll have to double check that, but make sure you check that out and properly make choices with your roster. Is Chris Paddock someone you like, or did you like him coming up through the Padres system?
Yeah, Paddock's a guy I've definitely liked. One of the primary things I look at with prospect pitchers is strikeouts minus walks, strikeout minus walk percentage, and Paddock was always great. There was always the question of whether he was just getting by on the changeup because the changeup was so good and he was just destroying younger hitters with it, but it wouldn't work in the MLB. Maybe we're finding that out now that it might not work. So I still think it's just a rough road for pitchers in general, especially like the first 3 years of their career. It's really hard to be a relevant pitcher for fantasy baseball in the first 3 years of your career. So Paddock actually probably had a pretty decent outcome to get started with. And now he's got to do something to evolve and take a next step. But I think he can.
So you would buy him then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in a dynasty format, if you didn't have to pay much to get him, or you were rebuilding and it's a team that was in the hunt was looking for parts from you, he might be somebody to consider getting back and taking a shot on.
Okay. No worry about previous velo concerns last year, and then this year he just looks – it looked like it was a continuation of his lost year last year, which was a brief year, of course, but you're not worried about that.
No, I'm worried. You got to worry about all of it. The fastball not being as effective as it might need to be. His inability to find a curveball that he likes. The flip side is if he can do one of those things, then he's a completely different pitcher. And he already has the control piece. He never has really walked many batters. So we should limit the damage. And then the changeup is really good.
Okay.
So you're kind of looking, if you're looking for a guy that needs to make one change that could really make an improvement, Paddock is a guy.
Interesting. Phil Goyette is live with us. We're talking baseball. And, of course, rotofanatic.com is where you can find Phil's work. You can find me there, too. I happen to be a part of the company, the website. I do something there. I think I've done something there. I swear there's something I do there. And follow us, Plaza Podcast, 2Ls2Z.
Utah, give me 2.
Phil.
Yeah.
Let's talk about return on investments. You did some work with the Fangraphs calculator. I want to hear about this. So when you set the table, you know exactly what you're talking about. The floor is yours.
Yeah, basically what I've been looking at this week is I use the Fangraphs auction calculator to see, for example, players in their first 3 years in the MLB, like we were just talking with Paddock. I was looking at hitters this week. So hitters within their first 3 years, what kind of expectation should you have for how much money they might return. So I use the 15 team setup with a 260 auction budget. It's kind of like a standard setup. And I looked at all the players in the whole, all the hitters in the pool separated into tiers. So $10 and up is a tier, $20 and up is a tier, $30 and up is a tier, $40 and up is a tier. And then I looked at the percentage in each of those tiers of guys that were in, for example, their first 3 years in the major leagues. So if guys in their first 3 years in the major leagues, pretty much at each tier, it's very consistent. You can expect 15 to 20% of that tier to come from guys within the first 3 years. So if you're looking at it like a rebuild and saying, I'm going to have all these prospects hit at the same time, and those next couple years after they make the show, my team's just going to dominate because I'm going to have all those kids together for 3 years. The reality is that it's only about 15 to 20% of the player pool that you want to be interested in are going to come from those guys. If you want to go that route, you would literally need to have all 15 of the prospects that do well in the first 3 years.
That is really interesting.
So don't don't forget about the olds.
The old vets that nobody wants?
Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
Or you know who was the guy that was popping up on this thing? So the years I looked at was 2015 through 2019. One guy that was, I don't know, he was definitely $10 or better. It might even have been $15 or better in three of those five seasons was Brandon Phillips.
Oh God.
The Ian eternal Kinsler. Ian Kinsler was on there.
Yeah. Tigers fan. I love Kinsler was great when that was a good trade. That worked out pretty well. And his best years were in Texas. I understand that, but he was always kind of undervalued.
Yes.
It seemed like ever so slightly. Brandon Phillips, always so elusively talented. Feel like we never quite got what we could have got out of him, but he did provide value. I'm not saying he was worthless at all, but that is really interesting. I know there's 1,000 tweets on Twitter about people saying, yep, Nelson Cruz is career over. Meanwhile, he hits another home run. So there's just something about people in their late 30s, mid 30s that people dismiss.
Yeah, I feel that.
But the information.
He's in my soul right now.
But the information is telling us otherwise, right?
Yeah, you really. Prospects are for trading. I don't think you want to put your whole piggy bank into prospects in a rebuild. You want to look at players who are within their first couple of MLB years and have had some success, or players that are at AAA and could get a call up in the event of an injury, the Max Muncy types. You need to mine for those types of guys as much as you need to take the next 16-year-old shortstop out of the Dominican if you're rebuilding.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I know he's still young, but I already feel like we've been hearing about Jason Dominguez for like 3 years.
Yeah.
He's still not even close to being here, really.
No, somebody asked me in the chat, you know, is he going to do this year? Can we expect him to be up? And it's like, there's no chance. Dude, there's no chance it happened. He's not even in full season yet.
Right. Exactly. Thank
you. And he's 18. He's 18, I think, already as well. So I don't know.
He is. Yes. I know that everyone says Juan Soto did it. Anybody could do it. No, that's an anomaly.
I know Juan Soto's the example, but Juan Soto's international signing year was 2015. So 15, 16, 17 was minors. In 2018, he got his debut. And that was only because they like half the Nationals outfield lost their limbs or something. It was like the craziest circumstance. He's been great since, but he's like the exception, not the rule. And even in that case, it took 3 years for him to get there.
That's a really good point. See, Juan Soto is the outlier, folks. And I even need to take this advice to heart in your dynasty leagues. Take the guys who are older that nobody cares about. I picked up Ryan Yarbrough on the wire like a month ago. Nobody cared about him in my dynasty league. He was just sitting there. I got him for $1.
People got sick of his shit.
Well, yeah, I can see that. I had him benched a couple of leagues this week. He got the win the other night, and that kind of annoyed me.
Definitely. But he got a rage drop in at least one of my leagues for sure.
Well, I don't know if that's not totally unjustified, to be honest. It's been pretty annoying. But anyway, this point being, and Ryan Yarbrough's not like super, super old, but it's just an example of a guy who's kind of in the middle of his career. Who could provide value, not out to pasture, not fresh in 18 like Dominguez. So that's really cool stuff. Anything else you want to mention from that? Because this is really cool. I'm going to start playing around with this myself. I never use that calculator.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I really should.
I'm going to start adding, once we get a couple months in, I'm going to start adding the earned auction dollars in 2021 to the rookie ladder. So you can see, like how much money has a Rosarena made this year, for example. So you can kind of see that unfold. The one great another thing I looked at was players within the first 5 years of their first year prospect draft year. So like, I would have the year you could have acquired the guy in the prospect draft within those 5 years from that season, what kind of returns were you getting from guys? It was almost the same as within the first 3 years. So you would figure in any given year, about 15 to 20% of hitters that make over $10 were within the last 5 years in a first-year player draft. Or in other words, if you want to rebuild that way by going heavy into first-year player draft picks, you're looking at like a five-year window, best-case scenario. Really, it's really hard to do.
Yeah, this is great stuff.
The cool outlier in that group is Bryce Harper. 2015, Bryce Harper was a $40. He was a tier one player, and he was within, I don't have it in front of me, 2 or 3 years of his player first-year player draft that year.
Yeah, I think it was 2012 he was drafted.
Yeah, I think
you're right. Off the top of my head, I don't know for sure.
Spreadsheets. Oh, 2010. Sorry, 2010. So it was 2010. His fourth MLB year. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know he didn't he play at like a junior college and then he jumped in or something? It was a different – it's interesting. His career, his growth and his journey to this point is fascinating. A little different. Okay, wow. Well, I hope you guys like that. I hope you find it of use. If you have more questions, you can ask Phil. You can follow him on Twitter at Phil of Sports. Phil of Sports. P-H-I-L-O-F Sports. Very easy to do. Phil is happy to absorb questions, I assume, right?
Just happy to absorb things in general.
I'm just happy I'm alive to absorb things. Yeah, that makes sense. Absorption. Okay. Well, speaking of absorbing things, how about we switch gears and go into Enrico's Inquisition? You ready?
All right.
All right, here we go. Would you prefer to deal with a manipulative person or a callous person?
Wow, this is deep into my psyche.
Alan Trammell or Lou Whitaker?
Oh, I knew you were going to hit me with that.
The 1988 Dodgers or the 2020 Dodgers?
Oh, the 1988. By far. It was the happiest moment of my sports life. That was my first gut moment.
Nelly, get ready for some doozies. Because it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Enrico's Inquisition.
Alrighty. And I just typed in your handle wrong in the live chat, which you can always participate in. I keep doing Phil on Sports. It's Phil of Sports. Phil of Sports.
I'm not on top of them. I am of them.
Yeah, we heard Paul Sporer there in the little intro. Whitaker or Trammell, who you got?
Who did he pick?
I think he ended up taking Whitaker.
I would say I'm probably Trammell.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't. I can't even say why, but Whitaker stuck around, didn't he? He was better later on in his career, right? I got that right.
Well, I mean, Trammell started playing less, but he still produced enough. Like in 1993, he was like 35. I just happened to be looking this up a week ago, so it's fresh in my head. But he hit 329, only played part time, and hit 13 home runs, stole like 8 bases. So then that was like 2 years before his career ended, because I think 95 was his last year. So it was kind of back and forth, because then the year before that he was just god awful because he was always hurt. So Lou kind of just did his thing. When he was done, he's like, all right, I'm out, that's it.
But honestly, my dude from that era Tigers team was Chet Lemon. That was the guy I loved as a kid, just based on the name.
Peter Pratt's here. We got you from Ireland and we got Peter Pratt, part of the Roto Brits podcast. So you guys are on the same time frame here, basically.
We are. He's up late.
He is up late. I don't know where exactly he lives, but
he's not out. He's not out for pints, which pubs have reopened. Well, not in Ireland yet, but across the UK, pubs have opened. Everybody's going out for pints. They're running out. They're running out of beer. They literally have been running out of beer.
They're running out of beer in Ireland? That's
not in the UK. Ireland could be next.
Wow, fantastic. Oh, he says he's in Leeds. Good old Leeds.
Yeah. Okay.
How long of a drive is that?
Well, you can't drive there because it's on the other side of the Irish Sea. It's a different island.
Yeah, that would be... That was a stupid question, wasn't it? So.
You could do like the car ferry. You could take a car ferry.
Aha, see? Yeah. Ah, okay. All right, there we go. Anyways, I just watched a good movie. It was an Irish. In fact, I watched two Irish movies a couple weeks ago. One was called A Good Woman is Hard to Find, and the other one was called Cavalry, with Brendan Gleeson. Really good. Great stuff.
Yeah, I haven't watched either of those. I love Brendan Gleeson.
Check them out. Yeah. Oh, if you love, yeah. That one came out in like 2014. He plays a priest in some small Irish seaside town. Pretty good. Yeah. Really good movie.
Brendan Gleeson's awesome, man.
Oh, he's great. You know? Bill the Butcher kills him. Spoiler alert! He dies in Gangs of New York. Yeah. In Bruges is great. Him and Colin Farrell. Yeah, that is. I love that movie. Yeah.
Great.
I gotta watch more Brendan Gleeson.
Great Dublin accents in that, too.
Great. What makes a great Dublin accent?
Well, it's correct. It's Ireland. So in Ireland, Dublin itself has about three accents. There's accents all over the place. So, not the typical how Americans think of the Irish accent as like, you know, leprechaun and me lucky charms.
Right. Right.
Nobody just really talks
stereotypical. Yeah. I mean, I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. So, but I'm certainly ignorant enough to not know there's three different, styles or accents
in Dublin. That's in Dublin. So, and then you've got accents all over the island, basically.
Does anybody speak Gaelic still?
Yeah, my kids take it in school.
They do.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's fun. All right. Well, hey, this is interesting. Yes, Phil is in Ireland. He's live with us in real time. The world of the internet in 2021. We could do a live baseball show from halfway around. Fully around the Atlantic Ocean. You're all the way over there. I've never been to Europe either, by the way, except to fly over to go to Israel once. So hopefully I get to go to Europe someday.
But yeah.
In fact, you know, now that the pandemic went down, it reinvigorated my desire. I'm going to take advantage of it. I don't want to hit the grave early and miss out on some of these beautiful places in this world to see. So I will make it a priority. That much I guarantee you.
Ireland's a great place to visit. It really is.
All right, what are some of your favorite musical artists then? This is usually the first question we ask. Your favorite musical artist, period, or if you have a couple, that's fine.
I'm a big fan of 70s album rock. So I have all my vinyls, like I stole from my parents and stuff. Steely Dan and Zeppelin. Oh, and
straight shows, the guest mentioned Steely Dan. That is weird. I'm not kidding. That just happened 2 days ago.
I don't know if I can grab them. Let me see. Over my record shelf, I can see we got the Black Keys. Black Keys are great. Neil Young, many Neil Young records. Neil Young's probably one of my favorites.
Who doesn't love Neil Young?
Radiohead over there. We got Hall & Oates over there. Outkast. Nice. One of my more obscure favorite bands is a band called Mogwai. They're from Scotland. Do you know them?
Yep, I sure
great
do.
Great band. Yep. New album just came out in February from them.
One of my favorite songs, Something a Murderer. You know what I'm talking about? A couple albums ago. Oh, crap. I'm going to look it up. It's a great album, and it's like a haunting song. It's very intense. Yeah, I love Mogwai. I'm in. I love all that stuff. I'm big into post-rock, like Explosions of the Sky, Mogwai, Sigur Rós, all that stuff. So,
yeah, they're great live, too, if you ever get to see them live. I'm hoping to get to a concert soon.
Have never seen them live, so that's something. Yeah, I haven't been to a concert. Shit, it's been a long ass time since I've been to a concert, obviously, with everything being shut down. Oh, the Mogwai album I was referencing is Rave Tapes. I love
that.
Oh,
yeah, I have the vinyl. I can't
remember it off the top. Oh, there we go.
Remurdered is the name of the track, yeah.
Yes! Yeah. Yes. That is some haunting, fantastic shit. That's really
good.
It's
got the great synth kind of bass.
In fact, when I edit the podcast version of it, because YouTube sucks, I'm definitely going to have that underneath us while we're talking. So,
love it.
Podcast listeners, you get an extra advantage. You get more music in the podcast version than you do the live stream version, just letting you know, because YouTube's very uptight. And, you know, rightfully so. All artists deserve to be paid for the music, but either way, I'm still going to play it. So, I mean, I buy music. I do care about art. I care about musicians. I do. So, maybe we can find a balance here. Anyways, all right, that's some great stuff there. Great stuff, Phil. Would you rather be stabbed or arrested?
Arrested.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. People usually go arrested.
Jasper. Neil Young is the man.
He is. Good call, Jasper. Wise man in Indiana. Change-up, slider, or curveball? Which of these is your favorite pitch?
Change-up.
Is there a pitcher's changeup that you enjoy the most? All time, historical, now, 10 years ago?
Who has the greatest changeup? I don't know. I couldn't give you just one. I love one that has the great fade late fade at the end, drops off the table. It's just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, well, we didn't actually, we used to ask just curveball or slider, and then Michael Simeone said, what about changeup? So he's the one who he advocated for changeups to be a part of this, and now it's part of the question. So, oh, Pablo Lopez, of course, Peter Pratt, raging Marlins fan, has to throw a Marlin in there. But we actually learned from our last guest that the Marlins, they are mastering the changeup and getting all their pitchers to throw it. That's what Eric Samulski, by the way, total shout out to Eric. He was our last guest and has some great information on a lot of different stuff. So make sure you follow Eric at Eric at Samski NYC. SamSkiNYC. He has a really good episode. You can go back and listen to that episode or watch the live stream. But yes, Marlins and changeups. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Eric's awesome. Rotoballer guy. He does those great videos.
Yes.
Marlins Trevor Rogers has a great changeup. Left-hander.
Yeah. Would you rather have Trevor Rogers or Dylan Cease?
I'm a White Sox guy, so Dylan Cease. Oh, he's our dude still.
My dude. The breakout is here. Looks like it's here, huh? Is it happening?
The stuff is there. The stuff is there. It might just be a mental thing. It might just be a mental thing with it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, people always dismiss the mental aspect of this game. We've always tried to push it and talk about it more often, but you can't always quantify it. There's not an algorithm or a data stream that can tell you what's going on mentally with somebody.
Nope. Pitcher's feeling it or not, if the hitter's feeling it or not, if his timing's right or wrong, that's all stuff
oh, Chaz Sample here. What's up, Chaz? Chaz, this is amazing. Chaz is in Alaska. So we've got Alaska to Ireland right now. This is why the show rules. Thank you.
Woo. I did the math. I think I'm approximately 27 hours ahead of Chaz in Alaska right now.
27?
Does that sound right? Something like that. You know, yeah.
Chaz says Carlos Rodon is his dude. He picked him up the first week of the season. That was a great call.
Yeah, he's brand new, man.
What is this? Everyone's rooting for the White Sox on this chat now? What the hell's going on? From Alaska to Indiana to Ireland, well, White Sox Goshen, are taking over.
Jasper, I don't know, is Goshen, Northwest Indiana. That's White Sox country if it is.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, Indiana has a triple. I don't even know if they have a AAA affiliate anymore. Do they, Jasper? They used to have the AAA Indianapolis team, but I think that's gone.
Fort Wayne's got a high A team, too.
Yeah, they're in the one of those are in the International League still. They got to be there.
Yeah, Indy. Indy, I think you're right.
It's 3 p.m. right now in Alaska. Oh, so that's 4 hours behind Eastern time. And then another. So it looks like. What was that? 10 hours? 8 hours? Nah, who cares?
To 11 hours.
Chaz, glad you're here, buddy. Good. Chaz has the day off.
It's actually midnight local time for me now. So.
Hey! 12:01 a.m.
The wheels are going like that.
Hang in there. You're doing a great job, Phil. We're talking live with Phil Goyette. Follow Phil on Twitter at Phil of Sports, of course. He writes for us and does his Climbing the Rookie Ladder at rotofanatic.com. And he also does work for Rotoballer, too. I didn't mention that before, but why don't you mention what's going on there?
Yeah, right. Rotoballer, I've been doing prospect call-up pieces each week. Different names that got called up might get playing time over the next week. And I'm also doing a piece called The Outsiders, Pitchers and Hitters Outside of Our Rotoballer Top 250 Prospects. So that will also be updated weekly on the weekends. And I do a chat every Sunday night on the website too, free chat on the website.
Well done. Cool. Why don't we have you do a chat for us? Huh. We talk about that off the air. Show meeting, live, site meeting. All right. So, by the way, Jasper filled this in. The Tin Caps are in Fort Wayne, and the Cubs are in South Bend. Thank you, Jasper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well done. This is the official fantasy baseball podcast of Russell Crowe. So we always ask this question, Master and Commander or the TV show Survivor?
Master and Commander.
Yes. Oh,
that's easy. Yeah.
Yeah!
Fantastic film.
That's what
film.
I'm talking about.
Fantastic film.
Tribe has spoken.
Eat it, Doug Ishikawa from the SB Streamer podcast. He came on here saying that Survivor was better than Master Commander, and ever since then, we've been asking that question. So I'm really, really glad you came through for us there. Thank you, Phil. Thank you very much.
My wife and I actually went on a date to see that movie.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow. I actually didn't see it till the first time like 3 years ago, but that's cool. See, look at all these, look at all the stories we get. We learn about people here in Enrico's Inquisition. Max S is here. Hi. Hello, Max. Welcome to the show. We're here live with Phil and myself. My name is Michael Govier at MJ Govier on Twitter. Phil is in Enrico's Inquisition. A couple more questions and we'll move on from this. Dogs or cats?
Cats.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Easily.
Saturdays or Sundays?
Saturdays. Don't like that creeping Sunday night. Creeping doom.
It gets instilled in you, at least, I don't know if it's like that. Maybe it is like this in Ireland too, but in the United States, it's instilled in you in school, and it always sticks with you. Even once you get into jobs and stuff, it's always that haunting Monday morning is coming, right?
Yeah. Sunday scaries.
Well, that's, yeah, some Sunday scaries. Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders?
Whew. Deion.
Oh,
prime time.
Wow. All right.
I used to love catching the Chris Berman NFL recap on Sunday and to see Deion took an interception back. That was always the highlight of the week, man.
NFL primetime. That was awesome. Yeah, that was a great show. I watched that religiously every Sunday night, no doubt about it. But both those guys were two-way players, so I was curious. I feel like most people go Bo Jackson, but Deion was, he didn't get hurt like Bo got hurt, and he was good.
He was a good, really good baseball player, too. Probably underrated.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more. We'll close it out here. Ricky Gervais or Steve Carell?
Just generally or office roles?
Yeah, just anything, whatever. Any context you want.
I find Ricky Gervais a little funnier.
Okay. His
super dry sense of humor is great.
Yeah, I got no complaints there. I think he's hilarious. I love when he does the Golden Globes. It's the only reason to watch that show.
Yes.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears or Chicago?
Chicago.
Oh, okay. All right, that's a good one. That's a good one. I love both those bands a lot.
Terry Kath.
Oh. But Terry Kath. Rest in power, my friend. Man, so dumb. Should not have died when he did. But hey, at least he left some killer music. I'll give him that.
Great guitar player.
Oh, we got a bonus question from the live stream. Peter Pratt says, favorite Marlin of all time?
Of all time?
I don't. It didn't say all time. It just says favorite Marlin, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
All time has to be Levon, right?
Levon Hernandez was fun. I'll give him that. But I have a personal favorite. You can go Levon. I'm going Orestes Destrada. Orestes Destrada. He was an original Marlin. It's such a badass name. I always loved Orestes when I was a kid. He wasn't even that great, to be honest with you. He was very middle of the road, but just such a cool name.
Didn't they take Charlie Huff in the initial expansion draft? He was about 48 years old, right?
He was the very first, the opening day starter, the inaugural game against the Dodgers, I think. Yeah, I think that's real. I'll verify that, by the way. I know Peter's loving all this. This is way too much Marlins talk. All right, and finally, as we close out Enrico's Inquisition, for love or money?
Love.
Final answer?
Final answer. That's an easy one for me.
Well said. Well said, Phil Goyette. He has passed and survived Enrico's Inquisition. Another wonderful job here on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's on Twitter, Facebook.
Give me two.
And, of course, sub our YouTube channel, which you can see right now as we're watching live. Thanks to everybody who's been participating in the live stream comments. Very active today. Chaz, Peter, Jasper, Max. Good to have everybody aboard here. All right, let's talk a little bit more fantasy baseball now. Let's get to the juicy stuff, the prospect stuff. That's why we have Phil here. People love prospects. So we got two segments here. It's real simple. We're just going to talk some redraft league prospects who could have an impact, and then we'll talk dynasty prospects beyond the top 100 that Phil will recommend. But first, let's start with redraft league prospects who could still play a role and be serviceable on your team this year. Who you got?
Yeah, let me get the rookie ladder open, really. That's what we want to be looking at here, right? Hitter-wise, you know who's been really good this year is Dylan Carlson.
Dylan!
There might be another gear, too, but he seems like he's got his feet under him. So Dylan Carlson, he hasn't moved up the ladder at all, but he's held firm at number three on the ladder, and wouldn't be surprised to see him move up a little bit. Paven Smith has been hitting the shit out of the ball, and he's been leading off every day for Arizona. I actually picked him up, I think, in only a 12-team league, a Yahoo league, and stuck him on the bench, and he's been in the lineup. So Paven Smith might be a hitter that you can look at if you're looking for – and he's, I think, first base and outfield eligible too.
Yeah, he's been really, really solid. And even with the return of Christian Walker, he's continuing to play. So we'll see how that goes because Christian Walker just came off the IL this week. So monitor that situation. But if they like him and they're – I don't think the Diamondbacks are really – where do we see the Diamondbacks? Do you see them as rebuild, like contender, just kind of stuck in the middle right now or what?
They're like, yeah, the vibe they give off is those weird gray jerseys they have. That's like their standings vibe as well, like 80-win team.
Gray. Yeah, former Tiger is the manager, Torey Lovullo, who was not very popular Tiger, but he was a Tiger. And, yeah, he hasn't really – they're just kind of middling.
So. Yeah, they don't have the horses, I don't think.
Well, Paven Smith, though, could be the guy that makes the difference, right?
He'd be a guy I'd look at picking up if he's still out there. Yermin Mercedes is probably gone by now. If you've been following the ladder, you might have got him earlier on. It's sounding like Jared Kelnick is close. Wander Franco might be close too. So those are guys you want to keep your ear to the ground on if they're not owned yet, and try to
both get off to really hot starts.
Maybe try and get a week ahead on the fab with them if you're looking. If you have a stash spot. If you have a stash spot, it's something to consider.
Okay. Yeah, both of them. You know, Kelenic had two homers in a game. Wander Franco went like 5-for-9 with a steal to start off. So they're in the minors. They're going to blow it up. And I actually believe this now, Phil. Because that douchebag who said that shit for the Mariners who got fired back in the January, the Rotary Club asshole. I believe since he said, yeah, Kelenic will come up like May 1st or whatever the period passes so they can get an extra year. I think they're actually keeping him down longer. So it looks like they're not following the plan of the guy that they separated themselves from. They don't want to be associated with this guy and that plan. They want to make it seem like it was all his own idea. And they'll sacrifice more time in the minors for Kelenic. I really believe they would do that. I know it sounds absurd, but people do crazy shit to avoid being connected to assholes.
It's hard to understand what you're doing when you've got Marmolejos and Sam Haggerty and whoever the hell else are running out in the outfield every day.
It's hard to
look at that argument with a straight face that they're not doing it to just keep a service time down.
I hear you. Who else? Anybody else that we could look forward to even later this year in the redraft leagues? Impact by the summertime.
Yeah, let's look, Nolan Jones in Cleveland, if he gets some time in the outfield, is somebody they might put in the Band-Aid in that crap fest of an outfield they have in Cleveland. Vidal Brujan's a guy I got in here for the Rays. He's definitely someone to keep your eye on. He's been – I think he's got two home runs already. He's not really a power-first prospect. He's more on base and speed. They've also been playing him in center field too. He's naturally a second baseman, so – position versatility. He should steal. He's very fast, great base runner too. So he can definitely steal you some bags. And then if he's going to hit 15 or 20 home runs, you have to own him. But he's not up yet, and it's the Rays, and you're not sure what they're going to do. So you might be waiting for an injury.
Okay, that's fair. What about we didn't mention him when we talked about Kelenic, but Julio Rodriguez, do you think he'll come up this year, and will he play a role?
I don't think he'll be up this year. I'm blanking on his initial assignment. I think they sent him to high A to start. He's probably like a year behind where Kelnick is right now, I would think.
Okay. Again, Peter Pratt, Marlins fan, says Jesus Sanchez and Lewin Diaz have gone insane in AAA.
Yeah, Jesus Sanchez is a guy that's easy to forget about because he's struggled as a prospect and people get sick of that and they don't want to sit around and wait for it, you know. So keep your eye out for him. And then if I could control F here. Oh, crap. Trying to find Lewin. But I remember Lewin showing up real well on estimated barrels.
Mm.
Yeah, 11.2% estimated barrels in 2019. Lewin's a dude that can hit the ball hard. And you always want to keep your eye on those type of guys. Sometimes you get caught into the trap of saying, I'm not interested in this prospect because, oh, he's only a first base prospect. It doesn't matter. Pete Alonso was only a first base prospect, and he had a great rookie season. So
that's true. That is very true. The Marlins, though, are somewhat confusing because they are employing people like Garrett Cooper and Jesus Aguilar, but they're... Because they're not like a rebuilding team necessarily. People might assume they are, but they're not playing players in a way that they should be playing Diaz and Sanchez.
Yeah, one got Adam Duvall for some reason.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's the best example of it, actually. Well said. But Jazz Chisholm was brought up, and that was fun. But that was only one guy, and he had to make shit happen to force his way in the lineup. But even though he was put on the opening day roster.
Yeah. That organization also has a lot of pitching. They've got a lot of pitching depth. They could have a scary good rotation. Sixto should be coming back relatively soon, hopefully. And Max Meyer was just destroying people in his Double-A debut. So he hopped right to Double-A to start. Meyer could be up next year, honestly.
He was last year's first round pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. Yes. Anybody else that we didn't cover here? Redraft possible influence in 2021. It could be in a couple of months still, but you know, it doesn't have to be today necessarily.
Let's look up some more pitchers I got here on the ladder. Sixto Kopech, Michael Kopech has wiggled his way into rotation role. Nate Pearson should be coming back for the Blue Jays soon.
Anytime. Yes.
I think he made his rehab start at AAA. Within the last couple days. Time's been a blur recently. But you should see Pearson in the next week or two, I would think. And I think they want him in the rotation when he's back. So,
yeah,
he's definitely a guy that you could stash a week out, I would think.
He allowed 4 hits, single run, and he struck out 8 in 3 2/3 innings at his AAA rehab start in Buffalo. That was 2 days ago.
2 days. The key is for him just getting stretched out so he can handle the workload when he comes back.
Yeah, so maybe 1 or 2 more rehab starts, and then he comes up by middle of May.
Yeah. Sounds right to me. Adbert Alzolay has been really good for a young pitcher.
Absolutely. I love him. I picked him up in TGFBI last week with a great bid of 42. Runner-up bid was 39. Yeah, yes. I got him. Of course, I also bid $102 on Dalton Varsho, and the runner-up bid was $9. So I'm going to give you the good and the bad. I always tell it like it is. I'll never lie to you guys.
Varsho's another interesting guy, too.
But Carson Kelly is coming out. Kelly is exploding, and they like Steven Vogt as the backup. They did bring up Varsho. He's on the roster right now, but he's basically there as like just a pinch hitter.
Utility guy.
Yeah, I don't know. What about Kelly? I mean, Kelly was a guy who was very, very hot. I mean, he was part of the Goldschmidt deal. He was one of the key aspects of that in return with the Cardinals. We like Carson Kelly enough, or is this a fluke what we're seeing right now? Cardinal Stadium, Bush, yeah.
Simple man, Bush.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting his Savant open now for Carson Kelly, but I think the barrel rate's legit. I don't think these are cheapies he's hitting. So I think
no, he's not. At him,
yeah, I think it's the real deal, Michael.
Wow. Okay. He's gonna be 27 soon. It's not like he's a baby. It's time. It's got to happen.
Yeah. Catchers take longer to develop, so maybe it's just. His career path took him a little bit longer to get where he needed to be.
I made a tragic mistake.
His rolling ex-WOBA over his past 100 plate appearances is like straight up. So he's on a very serious heater right now too.
But that's so. What does that tell us though? What does that tell us? A rolling ex-WOBA. I'm dumb.
Basically looks at the moving average of his expected WOBA over a shorter period of time. And it usually is, I found last year using this to pick up players and to do fab with is a good way to see guys that are on hot streaks, essentially, and legitimate hot streaks. Because X-Wolf was taking how he, you know, the quality of his contact and what they call it the expected outcome, sort of like regardless of what actually happened to the ball in play, what should have happened based on other similar balls in plays, it takes that. It takes his actual walk rate and his actual strikeout rate and projects what his WOBA should have been. It's a good way to find guys that are on hot streaks, honestly. And if you look on the Savant page, they now have it right front and center under the little percentile ranking bubbles. Underneath is a chart. It almost looks like a stock chart that shows the rolling ex-WOBA average.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with ex-WOBA. I just haven't always looked at rolling averages enough. So I admit I'm a little brain dead in there, but that's good to know. I'll look further into that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's a good short-term one for hitters to look at.
By the way, the Tigers are down 1-0 already to the Twins in the first inning. Woohoo! Go Tigers! Oh, Akil Badu. See, everybody was getting on the Akil Badu bandwagon, and he just went straight to hell. Did you ever have, even before he came up and had a nice little opening of this season, were you ever kind of on the radar with him, or were you always like, eh, this guy's just doesn't have what it takes?
I think he was kind of known in prospect sphere because the tools are loud. He's always had some big power and good glove and good speed. I think in the rookie ladder, I had him like in the teens, low teens. I know he went nuts off the bat. I didn't bump him right into like the top five or something because I was trying to show a little caution. In part because I don't think he was making much contact in the zone even at that time. I forget the exact number, but his zone contact is just like almost unusable. He's getting to the point where it's unusable.
Oh, that is a sad.
The flip side is he's got the Javi Baez thing where when he does make contact, he hits it so hard that it works. He just has to make enough contact for his profile.
Yeah, but that's why Badu was like one for his last 30 recently, and it's just he's done. He's got nothing. He's offering nothing now, and that's what I called out. But the problem is he's a Rule 5 pick, so can't necessarily just send him down to the minors. You got to cut bait or stick with him. And they suck anyway, so who gives a shit? So.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bad use of a Rule 5 pick at all, actually. Or
No. I don't necessarily think that either, even though Al Avila, he's trash. But that's not his fault. He's also the GM for a horrible, horrible human of an owner in Chris Hillitz. So that's not his fault. We can move on from this segment, unless there's anybody else you want to mention. I want to get to some of the beyond the top hundreds that you like, that get the Phil Goyette seal of approval. And this would be more of a dynasty perspective, obviously not redraft. So let's get into that. Outside the top 100, whatever you define as your top 100, I don't care how it goes.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of deeper guys, my outsider guys. So these were like outside the top 250. So here's some guys you can just keep your eye on. If you play in some psychotic format where you have over 1,000 minor leagues owned, which I do and have been in those. And I played in one that had unlimited minors at one point. So if you're in some crazy ass thing like that, you're always looking for names. Will Benson is a Indians Cleveland Baseball Club prospect. I haven't dropped that in from my subconscious yet.
You'll get better. It's okay.
Big time power, big time speed, has struggled to make contact at various points in his career, but he's a guy, if he can figure out how to put it together, he's still relatively young. Will Benson for Cleveland has tons of upside, and he's the kind of guy you want to sort of take a chance on when you're digging that deep. You can kind of look for, he's got one tool, and if he could learn how to hit the ball consistently, maybe he could take off. Benson's a guy I like. You're also looking at Mason Martin. So Mason Martin, I think his dad is a professional bodybuilder. Mason might be like one of the most in shape prospects in the entire minor leagues. He's a Pirates prospect. first base only, which usually scares people off. But like I said, remember, Pete Alonso plays first base only as well. And he's big-time power. His estimated barrel rate was like estimated barrel plus was over 200, so he had some absurd estimated barrel rate. Hits the ball hard. Ops plus was 174. He could run a little bit because he is a very good athlete. I think Pittsburgh started him at double A as well. So he's a guy that can move relatively quickly until your roster too in Dynasty League. So he's a guy that should be owned in pretty much all formats.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. I hope you guys are sucking this up. This is what you wanted. Give us more. Give us more. We want it, Phil. We gotta have it.
Another guy I like, Nico Hulsizer. Hulsizer was drafted by the Dodgers out of the venerable Morehead State, everybody's favorite university. When he was in college, he won the Collegiate Home Run Derby. He played baseball in Australia, I think 2 years ago, for the Perth Heat, I think is their name, of the Australian Baseball League over the winter.
Oh.
He's hit for power everywhere. He got traded to the Tampa Bay Rays, so he's now a Rays prospect. He's another guy, big-time power, very great athlete, more of a corner outfielder than first baseman. I think he could handle the outfield. If he gets a shot in the major leagues, he could probably hit 20 home runs right now in the majors. So Hulsizer, he's very deep, but he's a guy to watch.
That sounds like fun. Who would not want some of that? I'm interested.
Another Rays prospect that's interesting is Kevin Padlow. Padlow got called up briefly. I don't know if it was a doubleheader type of deal or something this year, but he's back with AAA Durham now. He's kind of like a corner profile. He can play first and third. Another guy that hits the shit out of the ball and also has very good plate discipline. He rated high on estimated barrels when I looked at those. And also looking at a strikeout to walk. So I look at outside estimated barrels for plate approach. I look at walk to strikeout ratio. Mm-hmm. And Padlow's walk to strikeout ratio plus, so indexed where 100 is average, was 156. So he's also got a very good plate approach, which might get him, you know, some more at-bats at the big league level if Tampa has a need for him.
Nice. If it's Jasper Springer is speaking for the audience here, more, he's loving it. That's right. People are eating this shit up.
Let's look at Taron Vavra. Not Vavra. Favre from Super Troopers, but Taron Vavra.
I don't want a large Farva. I want a goddamn liter of cola.
He's a shortstop in the Baltimore system. I think he's at double A as well to start this year. I'm starting to blank on basic facts because we're approaching 12:30.
Hang tough. So it's almost over. You're doing great.
He's got a good glove. He's another great plate approach guy. Upwards of like over 200 in an indexed walk to strikeout ratio plus. He can hit for some power. He can steal bags. It's just a matter of if Baltimore has a need to call him up, but he should definitely be owned in pretty much any dynasty format. I would have Vavra. If for no other reason, he's closer to the majors than some other shortstop prospects that might be out there.
Interesting. Yeah, he shows looks like he steals a few bags too. That's fun.
Yep. Great athlete, good defender. I think his dad was a hitting coach. So he's like a coach's kid mentality.
That's smart. He's 23 years old, 6'1", 200. We'll see what happens. Third round pick. So, I mean, that's not like a 20th round pick. So there's some pedigree there.
Yep. Those are hitters. We can flip to some pitchers.
Pitchers! We love them. People, I'm like most dynasty players, though. I always prefer hitters to pitchers because pitchers are more risky. That's just the nature of the beast. I think we all know that, though. So,
yeah, I think you're correct. I don't have the research done for the tiers of pitchers. I've looked into it a little bit, though, and I think you're right. It's you take how hard it is for the hitter to be relevant in their first 3 years, and for pitchers, you kind of cut it in half almost.
Really?
It's really hard. Yeah.
Shit. Okay, well, rookie season, that makes sense to me.
Rookie seasons for pitchers are just generally bad.
Welcome to hell. That's my favorite GIF on Twitter, by the way. Jasper jumps in real quick. He wants to know, Phil Goyen, who's joining us live, Rotoballer, rotofanatic.com. Get there. Is there any chance to see Torque before 2022? Torkelson, first round pick, first overall pick of the Detroit Tigers this last year.
I don't think so. Do they need to? He's starting at high
That's
A,
the is other that correct? Thing. That's the other thing. They don't need to.
He's starting at high A, I think. I have that right. So
they're not, they are cheap as fuck. So they're not going to do, there's no way in hell. You're right. He's at high A and there's no way in hell they're going to rush him either, because why would, that would be disadvantageous to their financial bottom line. And these people, that's all they care about.
Four level jump. I don't see it happening this year. Not that he couldn't do it. I think he could definitely, he could, they could probably drop him in the lineup and have him, he could hit passably right now, I would think. He was that good of a hitter in college. He was good every year in college too. Like Andrew Vaughn, he was probably a better hitter than Vaughn the year they were both in the Pac-12 together.
Wow.
I don't have the exact numbers from me. If not, it was at least close.
Sure.
So I would not be surprised if Torkelson could drop into the lineup and hit today. But like you said, Chris Illich has got no interest in doing that right now, I don't think. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Every prospect person I talked to head on in the preseason on the Palazzo podcast, 2L2Zs, they said
Utah.
He was.
Give me two.
The best hitter they'd seen in recent years in terms of a hitting prospect. So he's got the talent, but it doesn't mean that they're going to rush his ass up there.
Here's an interesting Tigers one to think about. Who gets to Detroit first, Torkelson or Riley Green?
It might be Riley Green. Yeah, I think that's – I think Green deserves a chance to come up later this year, but he's not going to get it.
I know.
I mean, he's been – he's shown a lot of great outcomes, whether it was last year when the season was in the reformation in the preseason in July before the short season started. He made that amazing catch against CJ Krohn. That was awesome. And he hit some home runs. He's done well in spring training. He's played well in the minors, but he's 20, 19. He's 20, I think.
I think just 20.
I think he would deserve a cup of coffee at September when rosters expand, but I'd be surprised if they did it. I would.
I think he would be a better outfielder for the team right now than Akil Bedu would be.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now we're talking. He'll be 21 in September. So he could still be called up before the end of that month and be 20 years old on the major league roster. But I don't think, I say no, just because I'm negative about this team. So, a couple other pitchers. How about the pitchers?
We got, all right. What I did for pitchers was I took the strikeouts, walks, and ground ball percentage of each, and I made a ERA estimator just using those three inputs, because those are the three best forward-looking inputs for pitchers, right? So that's something I looked at. I looked at swinging strike rate, and then I looked at the actual strike rate, so of how many pitches the pitcher throws, how many are thrown for strikes, and then I looked at the percentage of games that they appeared in that they started in, so game start percentage, and I created a list. I've got, I have this number for every prospect, but I created a list of 10 to start with for the outsiders. So number one on the list was Joe Ryan. Of the guess who, Tampa Bay Rays.
That's right.
Who had a great debut this past week. I think he hit Pitching Ninja with a GIF on the Pitching Ninja feed. The only real question with Ryan, I think, is what kind of role is he going to be used in with Tampa? You know, is he going to pitch enough for fantasy value-wise to get you wins or quality starts? That's what you're looking for from him. But he's a guy that could be up this year. And by the end of the year, depending on what they're, I don't know. They've got so many pitchers on the injured list. It's just like a revolving door for Tampa.
I think I did draft him in one draft and hold, which is, you get what you draft and you're stuck with it all year. So it was enough for me to take one shot at least. It's possible. It's legit. Possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's legit.
McClanahan came up. So
Joey Cantillo was the next guy on my list. He's with the Cleveland organization now. I believe he got traded.
He was part of the Clevenger deal, right? Or one of those deals. Yeah.
Yep. Left-hander.
I remember his name.
Yeah. Left-hander. Very good strikeout rate. Good walk rate. Is about average at generating ground balls. Solid swinging strike rate. Above average strike percentage. So pretty much above average at every aspect that you want a starting pitching prospect to be at. So Cantillo's a guy to watch. He's a little bit younger than Ryan, I believe. So might be, another year off. Cleveland seems to be relying on their farm for their pitching, though. So,
oh yeah, and they know what they're doing generally. Yeah. So,
and getting
I think people thought there'd be a quick return on the Cal Quantrill deal, but so far that hasn't actually been achieved. But I remember Cantillo's name and looking deep into that deal last year. Thanks for reminding me of his name. I'm gonna keep an eye on him even further because I actually liked what I read about him. He had a good resolve. He had good stuff. I think that's a great call.
Yeah, he's stats wise, he's ticking all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one to watch.
Anybody else?
We got I don't need any more Cleveland guys. How about this guy, Nivaldo Rodriguez? Houston Astros. He has made his MLB debut. They've only used him in a relief role at the major league level, so might take him some time to hit the rotation. But I think he's back to AAA to start the year. They've deployed him as a starter in the past, so I'm anticipating they do that again. He's great at control, limiting walks. So in 2019, his walk percentage plus, where 100 is average, was 274. So he was 174 percentage points above average at limiting walks.
Whoa. That's incredible.
Which is what you love to see from your pitchers.
He's pitched 11 and two-thirds innings in the majors. So
yeah.
he's had a cup of coffee here. He was at the alternate site last. So, yeah, he's probably in AAA, I assume, right now. Yeah. Or the alternate site does exist, or like the taxi squad. I don't know. He could be stuck in limbo there. It's very weird.
Yeah, that's where they bring in like the CIA operatives to the alternate site to clean them before they move back to the country.
Black op site, yeah. Yeah,
right. Gitmo.
Wow.
Baseball Gitmo.
Welcome to hell. This is all great stuff. Thank you, Phil. I think we've covered. I think we've given the people what they want. Was there anybody we didn't mention that you really wanted to get out there before we go?
No, I think we covered everybody, man.
I certainly believe that to be true. We gave you what you wanted. You asked for it, and we gave it to you. Phil Goyette on a silver platter, readily available at your services. In fact, we could have Phil on the show anytime we want, as long as we work out the details, maybe do it a little bit earlier on a, maybe before midnight his time. But either way, I'm really glad. Yeah, you're still alive, man. You're still here. You're always going to be here. And I'm really glad we got to do this. You're a cool dude. I've only known you by the screen name and your work, so now we've put a face and a voice to everything.
A lot of fun.
And I think that's cool. I think that's really cool. A former Michigander, too.
Yeah, we didn't talk about better-made potato chips.
Yeah. Faygo.
Or Faygo Pop. Faygo Pop, not soda.
Not soda. That's right. Weirdos. Yes. Faygo Pop. Although some people say soda pop, which is even crazier.
So yeah, my great grandfather, soda pop. So all right, Michael, favorite Better Lay's potato chip flavor, pick one.
Well, I gotta tell you, Better Made actually just came out recently with something called Southern Barbecue Sweet Heat.
You're about to blow my mind. I've been gone too long.
It's like a whole new thing. It's amazing. It's delicious. It's barbecue, but it's not like the super fiery burn red, the red hot ones. It's in between. Yeah. It's got a little bit of kick to it, but it's called like Southern Heat. They're fantastic. And they're also ridged. So if you like ridged chips over the non-ridged.
Ridged for your pleasure.
That's right. They are absolutely ridged for your pleasure. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I'd actually... That's it. Otherwise, I actually was disappointed with Better Made a lot in my life.
Really?
But I was. I always thought their chips looked gross. Yeah, I know. I had them. I was there. I did it. I've eaten plenty of their product, but I don't know. I guess that kind of fell out of favor. But oddly enough, I just got back into them this year. So I'm back. So I'm back.
And your favorite Faygo pop flavor?
Oh, it's got to be. Well, there's three that come to mind instantly. And between the three, I'll go.
You had to think like a juggalo to answer this one. Think like a juggalo.
Yeah, I could run and do my makeup real quick. Really get into character here. But I'm going to say Rock and Rye. It's just too good. It's a unique flavor.
Yes.
I was thinking Red Pop, but I'm going to go Rock and Rye. So
Rock and Rye. That's the one.
I don't know what it is. It's such a weird unique name. Yeah. What is it? It's not it's a cola. It looks dark like a cola, but it's like flavorful kind of. It's like maybe some fruit in there. I'm not sure. Like they're trying to make it cherry-ish, but it's not. It's interesting. It's an interesting flavor.
It's probably they just take like all the leftover other Faygo flavors and mix them together. You think it's good, but it's just like the
everything that seeps onto the floor.
It's like the detritus of the other Faygos.
Oh man. If you have never had Faygo out there, make sure you try Faygo. They got a lot of flavors. My top three, by the way, were Red Pop, Rock and Rye, and Cream Soda. I always like those. Those are my three go-tos.
So. Yeah, solid. Moon Mist. A good Moon Mist is not bad. No, doesn't really do it for you.
It wasn't my thing. I like the name. That's a cool name. But
nice part about Faygo is you get 24 ounces, too, instead of the 20.
You do. Yes, it's true. If you wanted to be even fatter, it's a great way to get there. Trust me, guys. I know all about being chubby and not being healthy. So if you want to take a fast route, pound those 24 ounces of Faygo. You'll have a good time. Trust me. I would say a good combo when I was a kid. When I was in my prime of being a youth, it was probably sour cream and onion Better Maids and Rock and Rye. That was the go-to move there.
You can taste it right now. Just close your eyes. Just talking about it.
I can smell it for sure. Yeah, I can smell it. I can taste it. It definitely has that when you open a bag, whew, it hits you hard. But yeah, that's good stuff. Detroit does good stuff. And of course, I love all that stuff. But my all-time favorite is Verner's. Verner's was always my favorite thing ever. So
Flint, Michigan. There you go.
Right there. Over 100 years, 130 years. They've been around forever.
The only issue with Verner is when you grow up in Michigan is you do equate it with being sick because you're just fed that as in lieu of medicine. Here's a flat Verner as a warm it up a little bit for you, son. You don't need Tylenol or a doctor.
It's so true. If you guys, this is exactly the same way I was raised. Yes. Oh, you're sick. Here, have some Verner's. What? Yeah. You're giving me sugar? You're giving me a sugar drink to make me feel better? I don't know. That fizz, it'll get you. That effervescence will make your eyes water for sure when you crack it the first time. But once it's flat, it's like nothing. So.
Yeah. Verner's is so good true. Shit. I think in Flint, there was a big Verner's mural. I don't know if you ever saw it. I don't think it's there anymore because I think some crackhead burnt the building down.
Oh.
They had the first mural, if I remember correctly.
I don't believe that. That's impossible. I always thought, I didn't know that. That's interesting. I never saw it.
Yeah, there was like a big painting of the little Verner's gnomes, like bottling the Verner's.
It was like a source of
civic pride.
I feel like I've seen pictures of that, but I've never actually saw it in person. And if it's gone, that's a damn shame. But you know what's a damn shame too? Is poisoning your residents water supply. That's also a damn shame and much more of a serious offense if you ask me. But we're not here to end it on a downer. We want to go out on a positive note. So Phil, say farewell to everybody. Let them know where you're at, what you're doing, so they can keep in touch with you and take advantage of your wealth of knowledge of prospects and baseball overall.
Follow us on Roto Fanatic. Every week we've got great fantasy baseball resources coming out on the weekends. Every Wednesday, you'll see my rookie ladder updated on Roto Fanatic. You can also read me on Roto Baller, follow me on Twitter, and maybe on the Palazzo cast again.
Of course, yeah. Well, you're making part of the regular rotation anyways. You're with us at Roto Fanatic, and we are a Roto Fanatic podcast, sort of. That's weird. Everything's weird sometimes. What is, I am. I've been a Roto Fanatic for almost a year now, so let's do this more often. Had a good time here with Phil Goyette. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Phil of Sports, not on. And I'm at MJ Govier. G-O-V is in Victor, I-E-R. Don't you forget that we'll be back on Sunday night with the Sunday Night Fab Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live and uncensored. We're going to give you fab bids. We'll talk schedules, streamers, everything you need to know for the coming week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, I'm going to go chill out, live my life. Phil's going to go to bed.
Take
Everybody
it easy.
Thank Phil for staying up way past his bedtime in Ireland. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning there, so thank Phil for taking the time out. Until then, keep your head up.
Cheers.
These once promising names litter my mind. When the Tigers selected this year, their logic suddenly became crystal clear. Akil Badu, his father's from Ghana, is all I want to say to you. Akil Badu, his walk-off winners, his innocence is tried and true. Akil Badu.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.